Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paul Enos and I talk with the Nevada State demographer, Jeff Hardcastle. He's the guy that looks out 30 years to see what the plan's going to be. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Dory Guy, Marlene Lockhart, and Trey Abney. Talk one up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. Instead of just keeping up, Envy Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the program Jeff Hardcastle. He is the Nevada State demographer. And the thing that fascinates me about what you do, what airports do in the state of Nevada, and what RTCs do is you're the people that look out 30 years. So, for example, in your 30-year plans, did you see what was going to happen to the economy coming? And is that part of what you look at?
You know, when I was last here, I think it was about 10 years ago, and with those projections...
My apologies about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But 10 years ago, because I was thinking about that, and you know, at that time, the projections were pretty robust. We were looking at, you know, going 20 years out, about replacing almost the entire population we had at that time, or that kind of growth. The thing was, at that time, you know, we didn't see fully, I think, a lot of what was... And at that time... As I was saying, some of those things that were changing was driving that growth. We had a monopolistic industry with the gaming sector. We had low housing costs relative to the rest of the country. We had a stable national and international economy. And we had easily developable land. And things were starting to change there. And I was saying some of that, but we didn't have a good way to factor in those changes necessarily, because the underlying trends and the data from that history were showing, you know, that weren't giving enough information to document those trends. And I think the other thing that happened was, I don't think anybody fully understood or captured in a timely manner the housing bubble. If you look at Nevada, there's an idea called the location quotient that's used to analyze economic competitiveness. And anything over one is considered an export industry. At the peak of the housing bubble, our location quotient for construction was 1.88. And it's now down to 1.4. And that one level of one means that we're basically supplying our own construction needs. So we were treating construction as an export industry. And none of us had enough timeliness on the data, because, you know, data tends to lag about a year to 2 years, unfortunately, to really fully capture that. And so we kind of blew that. And looking farther out, though, we're still seeing, you know, growth out there.
So, let's talk about that, because you have seen growth in construction go down.
Right.
Now, there is a natural level, I guess, and that if you hit that one, that's kind of the natural level. So, I mean, is there still a construction bubble in the state of Nevada?
I don't think, you know, it's starting to hit bottom on the construction sector. It's been bouncing along the past 6 months, where those numbers are now starting to look like they're bottoming out want some. They'll dip down a little bit, come back up. So in that construction trades back at that peak was still mixed in with construction in the commercial sector with MGM,
you know, when you're project. Built city center
and those kinds of projects,
Fontainebleau and Echelon,
you know, and other road construction that, but you know, if you look at even like, you know, I've been trying to deconstruct and just see what happened with the past decade, because we either built a lot of houses that weren't just occupied with people maybe moving from one house to the next and flipping it. Or else we did have a lot of people move out. And some of the data, it looks like we just overbuilt. If you look at, our occupancy rates went from, for Clark County, went from about 91.5 down to 86% for occupied units. But we built substantially more total units than we did occupied units.
Driven a lot by speculators, right? By people coming who could sell a house in California, you know, for $1.5 million, and buy three or four of them in Las Vegas.
Well, it was speculators, but it was also, the anecdotal story I've heard from Las Vegas from folks down there is, for instance, like one fellow that was a housing market analyst was talking to a clerk at Best Buy, and the Best Buy clerk, not knocking Best Buy clerks, but he and a couple of buddies were going in and flipping houses. They were joining their resources and flipping houses. So when you've got people at that income level seeing, instead of the house as being either a long-term place of residence or a place to raise a family in, and as an investment to then turn over, you end up having that kind of speculation.
Well, also, what's interesting is that, you know, once we were in the middle of the recession, the builders stopped building, but yet there's still going to continue to be a need for the population that currently exists, are going to have children, those children are going to grow up, and if they want to live in the marketplace, they will need housing. And so now we're slowly starting to see where that market has been pushed forward.
Well, and that market's, you know, coming back for some new construction. The other thing that's driving the new construction market is that you've got people that are strategically defaulting on their housing, you know, their homes, people that are underwater.
And by that, you mean people but walking away that could actually afford.
Right.
But why if you're upside down?
Right. And so they can't, they're not turning their properties, to the resale sector. And you've got speculators, then you've got the foreclosure mess still unwinding. And what we also had was at the, with the census numbers, it showed that, and that's another thing where, you know, trying to dig more into the numbers and get a better sense of the detail, but a large number of people are now living in daily, weekly, monthlies. About 2% of the occupied units were now, daily, weekly, monthly, non-traditional housing types like RV parks, that kind of thing, both here in Washoe County and Clark County. So you had those people that aren't able to meet their first and last month's rent for a deposit, when they go into an apartment, now living, week to week on a daily, weekly, monthly.
How about the millennials? We hear a lot about them and that they're kind of lagging behind. You know, it's harder for them to find jobs because the economy's not where you want it to be. They have high amounts of student loans. So a lot of them, they are stalling marriage. They aren't leaving mom and dad. So they're kind of staying put. They're not getting married at the rates that previous generations have, or they're getting married later. They're deciding not to have children at least early on. So what kind of impact does that have on the state, on the number of occupy units and really the economy?
Well, it'll be a drag, but part of it is you've got a chicken and egg question there going, because Nevada, we from peak to bottom, we lost 14% of our jobs from peak to bottom. We've now regained about 25%. We're lagging the rest of the nation on creation jobs. Now, you can debate the quality of some of those jobs because, this last number showed a lot of those are part-time or low-wage jobs. But we just aren't having the job creation to draw those people out. And so the millennials are in that situation where, and there's always been, people getting married later has been a trend for a long time now, and the delay in childbearing years has even been delayed. There's some longer underlying trends there that the millennials are kind of getting captured in also a bad economy. And at some point, though, I can't see them necessarily staying at home, but you need that economic opportunity out there for the job creation.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jeff Hardcastle when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeff Hardcastle. He is the Nevada state demographer.
Jeff, for 20 years, Nevada was the fastest growing state. And we've seen since the last census, you know, it seems like a smaller blip. We've grown from about 2.7 million people to about 2.76 million people. So where are we seeing that growth? And do you ever foresee the kind of growth that we've had in the past where maybe Nevada will be the fastest growing state again?
The biggest share of our growth, or the shifting of our growth, is going in towards natural increase births over deaths. During the 90s, it was about 19%, and the previous decade, it got up to about 26%. So we're seeing a greater shift towards natural increase. We're still having people move here with net migration. The thing that we haven't seen, as I said earlier, was possibly people moving out because, you know, nationally the jobs aren't coming back. We don't have a good skill match. I think, down the road, you know, as I said earlier, we missed the ball because we didn't see some of these underlying trends or some of the data that would have maybe given us some hints there. And it's hard. I think in the next 20 years, at least looking where we're at, I don't see anything that propels us to the levels that we were seeing in the last two decades.
But you know what's interesting, Jeff, is that, you know, first of all, the gaming industry has turned into the destination resort industry because, you know, now gambling is 36% of the revenue versus 50-60%. In fact, in Northern Nevada, there are still some properties that is 60% gaming revenue. And it looks to me like we're seeing a pre-mirage time in Nevada because you have the Genting Resort that's potentially a build out of $7 billion. And if you think in terms of how the cost of construction has gone down, that's really more like a $14 billion in old money. SLS, the casino companies that are there right now are saying we don't need the extra rooms. But the reality is that you bring in those rooms and the state will absorb that. So it seems to me that we're at the beginning of a new growth spurt in Nevada that will be quite significant.
Well, you've got the Stardust property that will be coming online or potentially starting construction coming online in 2016.
The Genting project.
You're right. And you've got other properties that are reinvesting or reinventing and adding on new, either new amenities or new attractions, like the Harris properties. And,
right, the Link and MGM.
And that kind of function. But if you look at, and again, going back to that location quotient I did, back in 2000, our accommodations and food services location quotient was 3.25. It's now dropped to 2.76. You know, so even though we're competitive still and we're still a landmark destination, other parts of the country are either becoming more competitive or drawing tourists as well. If you look back, there's a book I came across at UNR that talks about Nevada in 1960, looking back. And it's interesting because they talk about, you know, gaming, aerospace, and defense as being the sectors that will help grow Nevada. And we're still talking about gaming, aerospace, and defense being the sectors that will grow Nevada.
So where have you seen that growth? I mean, you talk about, you know, a decrease in gaming, a decrease in construction jobs. I mean, we've seen companies like Switch Communications, like Apple, their data center. I mean, are those job creators? Are those, do you see those location quotients go up?
The biggest one right now that's actually been gaining is healthcare. I mean, overall, for the most magnitude of total jobs, the Switch Center is starting to provide some spin-off activities. But the other thing with both Southern Nevada and the, up here in Northern Nevada, Northwestern Nevada, is that you've got, and even with the rural counties, you've got enough of the tourist-based industry there that even as we're diversifying, it's large enough that you can't unwind that very significantly. You got to keep competitive because otherwise you do have a large number of people of them be dislocated economically. I mean, you know, you'll see reports here in Times and people talk about the Nevada, you know, the Reno gaming sector just needing to go more towards locals and less tourist-oriented. Well, then you're just, you know, circulating money within your county. You're not bringing new money in, but you're also unwinding and dislocating people economically that would benefit.
And that would be a death spiral.
Pardon?
That would be a death spiral. And I don't think that, you know, the properties that are currently operating are not thinking in those kind of terms.
Right.
And the new people that are coming in and buying properties in Northern Nevada are not thinking in those kind of terms. I think that the challenge for Northern Nevada Gaming is to expand their offerings so that the revenue portion that comes from gaming shrinks to 36%, and the money they get from spas and restaurants and entertainment increases, you know, to the 60%.
I totally agree.
I love that kind of guest. Thank you so much for being here. Please come back sooner than 10 years, okay?
Because okay,
we don't have to wait for another census.
Okay, sounds
we'll
good.
Be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
This Hot August Nights calendar is brought to you by Denny's.
Social Security disability application denied can feel like a never-ending road, denial after denial. It can make you feel so helpless. Well, at David Allen Associates, we step up and fight for you and right now, getting you the benefits you earned. You never pay us either until your application is approved once and for all. Depression, we understand it, and we want to end it. I'm David Allen.
To the final days of the $50 million warehouse liquidation going on at Ashley Furniture Home Store. We are closing our warehouse for renovations and must clear out our inventory. Save 60 to 70% off. Liquidation prices like pop sets, only $99. Complete queen bedrooms, only $7.95. And recliners at $2.45. Truckloads have been delivered to our East Moana Lane showroom to sell. But you better hurry. These are the final days of the $50 million warehouse liquidation going on now only at your Ashley Furniture Home Store.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Dori Guy is here, the Democratic activist, Trey Abney with the Chamber, and Marlene Lockhart, Government Affairs. Pleasure to have you all here. So, interesting thing coming at the very end of Jeff Hardcastle's appearance here was that the big growth industry is going to be in the medical field.
I thought you were going to say that he said you were right.
Well, that's such a rare occurrence. I didn't really want to harp on that. But really, I mean, if somebody's thinking about investing in a business or a career profession, the medical industry in Nevada is the place to be, no?
I was a little surprised at that myself. I'm not sure how and where they plan on putting all this together, you know, because we have North and we have the South, and that's pretty much it, unless they plan on going out to the rurals and putting up big planners. I mean, they could do it here locally too, but...
Well, I think it's, first of all, it's the aging population,
right.
But also Obamacare is going to mean that there's going to be a lot more people needing services, and anybody who's tried to get to their doctor lately, if they can even sign on to a doctor.
Because Obamacare has made it so nobody wants to become a doctor.
Well, that's the other piece of it, is you're going to have much more of a need for services, but we have one of the lowest doctor-to-patient ratios, or highest doctor-to-patient ratios in the country. Not enough doctors, not enough nurses. And, you know, to Paul's point, they're not getting reimbursed now for providing Medicaid services, Medicare services. You have a lot of doctors that are just refusing to take those patients. And so there is some concern with more government involvement like that. Are they going to be reimbursed for the services that they're...
Marlene?
I think it's a fast-moving, growing economic piece for Nevada for several reasons. The lack of doctors in Nevada that really, starting next year, I think we're really going to feel, moves other health care providers into place to provide services, physicals, the intermediate kind of services that doctors used to perform only. And so I think you'll see an expansion of medical care within the state.
Well, you know, Mary Lau said on this program before that you're going to see, folks, nurses, for example, that are going to be providing more services, pharmacists that are going to be providing more services. So it may be a different income spectrum, but do we really think that doctors are not going to practice medicine when you look at the rates between other countries and medical services versus our country and medical services?
What is the investment that it takes to become a doctor in this country? You're investing 10 years of your time, hundreds of thousands of maybe.
But it's the same in other countries too. And I've been in, I mean, I hate to go back to socialized medicine, but you know, I've traveled a lot and I've seen it, spent some time in Holland, so I've seen this. And it just seems that everything goes along quite smoothly.
Unless you do not make a benefit cost ratio, and I have had numerous members of my family who are old, who have a heart condition, who have an aneurysm of the aorta, and it's like, hey, you're 79 years old, nobody over 75 has ever survived this, so c'est la vie. That's what happens in other countries. It has not happened here to this point, but when you start doing those benefit cost ratios and going, is this 86 year old guy who had an aneurysm, is he worth saving, is he worth taking into surgery? That scares the hell out of me.
How is it working in Oregon? Oregon has had a similar situation or a similar policy with, you know, once you get to a certain age, is it worth it at that particular point? And I'm just wondering how they're doing with it.
I don't want government to make those decisions.
I'm not asking for government to look at it, but for common sense to look at it, because hospitals are businesses for the most part. Even the nonprofits are businesses for the most part, and very big businesses. And the end-of-life care, the amount of money spent is through the roof, and it's insane.
So I got another. This story happened to
You're
me. I'm sorry, I'm a little passionate about it.
Governor Lamb of Colorado: the seniors have a duty to die. Remember that famous quote?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And that is disgusting.
and your point? No, I'm kidding.
But that is absolutely a disgusting way to look at it. You know, I look at the extra 10.5 years I got with my grandfather, who at 79 had an aneurysm of the aorta, where he got to meet my children as some of the best years of his life and my life. And you know what? I don't want government making a decision whether my grandfather is going to be able to get that surgery or not, because nobody survived it up until that point. So, you know, you have to have the human element in there.
Hang on. Is it the government or doctors who are making that decision? I don't see the government in the hospitals making the decision that we're going to spend you know, $100,000 in the last week of care for somebody that's obviously dying.
Right,
and we're just keeping them alive artificially.
Right now the doctors are making the decision because they have something called a Hippocratic Oath, which means they should go in there and do whatever they can
Paul,
to save that person's life.
As and, our hey, senior I, population is aging, we're living longer. So I think that has a lot to say about it, too. You know, obviously that 75 rule is going to have to be raised.
Well, so. I know that if it would have happened in England or anywhere with socialized medicine, my grandfather, I wouldn't have been able to spend those last 10 years.
And that was beautiful, I'm sure.
And there's also private insurance in England, for example, where whatever you want done, if you want to pay for it, you can have it done. Marlene, I know you want to jump in here.
Well, my mother is 88 years old and has had the benefit of the medical care of this country, and doctors do provide care. Government isn't making those decisions.
Not yet.
No. Well, I think you're putting up a straw man that just simply isn't
I'm sorry.
There.
It's happened in every other country where you've had socialized medicine and you've had government as involved as they
are. I disagree. My daughter's father-in-law, who lived in Holland, was 88, and I remember visiting him in the hospital thinking, you know, socialized medicine, this dark, dreary hospital. Very, very modern, very new, and he got the best care possible. He went into the hospital first time at 78, and he lived to be 88. So.
I have to share a story here about socialized medicine. We were just recently in Canada, and one of our party came off a bike and went into the blackberry bushes and got all scraped up, and we had to go to the first aid and get all cleaned up, and I said, how much, you know, do I owe you for this? And they said, well, no, it's Canada. It's free.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Great news. The housing market is improving, and now Fannie Mae and most major banks are allowing streamlined short sales with no documentation, no hardship, and full debt release. Call me today for more information.
News 4 is Nevada proud, and to help celebrate the Silver State's 150th birthday, we are giving you the chance to tell us why you are Nevada proud, too.
Go to MyNews4.com to enter the Why I Am Nevada Proud contest. Click on the link and tell us why you're proud to live in Nevada.
I'm Nevada proud because of the amazing.
Once a month, the winner's story will be told on News 4 at 4. News 4 and Nevada Proud, presented by Nevada Dream Tags.
Get the Charter Triple Play. Upgrade your home with TV, internet, and phone, all at an unbelievable price. Charter TV transforms every TV screen in your home with over 100 available HD channels in crystal clear picture and sound, and over 10,000 on-demand movies and shows available instantly. You can't get that with satellite. Call 855-303-PLAY to get Charter TV for $29.99 a month and get four DVRs for $19.99. Record up to 8 shows at once and have the ability to pause, play, and rewind live TV in every room. Upgrade to the nation's most powerful internet. At 30 megabits, it's 10 times faster than DSL, with the bandwidth to support more devices than any other internet provider. Experience it all for just $29.99 a month. Get Charter Phone with unlimited long-distance calling with none of the costly fees like the phone company charges you. Just $29.99 a month. Get the Charter Triple Play. All for $29.99 a month each when bundled. Call 855-303-PLAY now.
I've specialized in helping homeowners recover in Reno since 2008, and I've never charged homeowners for any of my services. So if you ever have any questions at all, call me today, and I'll be glad to help you out.
On our next broadcast, Elisa Caffarata will be here. Her grandmother was a congresswoman, her mother was a state treasurer, and now she's running for office, too. See you on the next broadcast.